Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever podcast. My name is Max Matthews and I'll be your host for the 2024 season. In store for today's episode has the likes of my classic team reveal before the official preseason matches, must-have rookies, mid-price options and requested player reviews, plus the early buy rounds and how to navigate them. So first of all, I'll go through my classic team by position and give my thoughts on some people that just missed out and what I like about my team. So first of all, in defence, I have James Sicily, Harry Sheasel, Tom Stewart, Hayden Young, Elliot Yeo and Nick Caulfield as my back six, with Dan Curtin and Toby Pink on the bench. Zach Williams has just missed out. I'm not too sure how he will do coming off a series of injuries, and with him not attending the practice match, there are some questions in the air about his job security, and he's also got injury risks as well. Also missing out was Nick Dacos, so he is the second highest pick defender apart from Dan Curtin. And he's got me stuck in two minds. From what I saw in the preseason game, he's going to do the exact same thing that he did last year. He looks explosive and very fit, and Collingwood want the ball in his hands as much as possible. The only concern I have for him is that he has an early buy round followed by a possible Finn McGuinness tag. And we know that we'll all need him at some point during the season. So when that is, I'm not too sure. And then the final defender that just missed out for me was Kitty Coleman. Purely didn't select him based on the Lions' early buy. And he is quite cheap, so he should be quite affordable after his early buy round. So Daniel Rich just retired, and it looks like he's going to be taking over his role with kickouts and just being a marking backman. He had 91 points in the first three quarters of his practice match as well, so he looks very good. And in my midfield, I have Rory Laird, Zach Butters, Luke Davies-Uniacke, Jai Newcombe, Matt Crouch, Colby McKercher, Riley Sanders and Jeremy Sharp, with Jai Clark and Jackson Binns on the bench. So obviously Laird has been a proven scorer in the past, so I'm quite happy to sit him at M1 for now. I didn't choose Bontempelli based on how expensive he is, and I know that he will probably be one of the most reliable fantasy choices this year, but I'm not too sure whether paying over $1 million for one midfielder is necessary. And with so many people like him just under that $1 million mark, I can't see why you can't just go to someone there like Lady. And I've got some guys under 900K like Zach Butters, Luke Davies-Uniacke and Jai Newcombe, who will all have pretty much similar roles as a pure mid. Luke Davies-Uniacke looked really good in his practice match. Jai Newcombe as well was tackling very well. Zach Butters, he just looked explosive like he did last year when he was in contention for that Brownlow. And I changed from Carl Amon to Matt Crouch earlier this week, basically to give myself an opportunity to have someone in there that will just get disposals and rack up fantasy points quite consistently. So I know Carl Amon might be playing defense, could get DPP, but with Colby McKercher possibly getting dual position to defense, he might be the option that I need just to flick him to D6 and have someone else take over for my M6 position. And with that, Colby McKercher looked really good. He had 25 disposals, same as Riley Sanders. He looked amazing. He looked like an AFL football already. And Jeremy Sharp, just purely because he's going to have a wing all by himself at Fremantle. Jai Clark looked all right in his Geelong practice match, same as Jackson Binns. And I'll talk about some of the rookies later. So rucks, I've got Brody Grundy and Tristan Jerry. Pretty much the standalone two ruckmen that you want. In terms of value, obviously Max Gawn was a near miss for me. I've had him in my team for pretty much the whole preseason, and his minutes were down in the practice match, so he might have just been getting managed. But he was dominating the ruck against Sam Naismith and Samson Ryan. But with Jerry, it's all about value and gaining as much money as possible. So I've got Max Heath on the bench for ruck, and that's purely because he'll probably be maybe a backup ruckman to Rowan Marshall. I know Tom Campbell's still there, but he might still be playing VFL and trying to let Max Heath develop into an AFL ruckman just in case they need him after Rowan Marshall maybe goes down this year. In the forward line, Sam Flanders, Zach Fisher, Nat Fyfe, Alex Sexton, Finlay McRae and Charlie Lazaro, with Harley Reid and Chris Burgess on the bench. So Sam Flanders, yeah, he looked pretty good in the practice match. He wasn't amazing, but he was still getting disposals and has that midfield role. Obviously, he floats up forward as well. Zach Fisher, he's going to be playing defence this year. He was on managed minutes and only played one half of footy. Nat Fyfe, he had 20 disposals in the first half of his practice match, so he was a ball magnet in contest. Alex Sexton, with a half-back role, I'll talk about him later. Same as Finlay McRae, I'll talk about him later in the rookies. And Charlie Lazaro looked pretty good. He had 20 disposals. We'll talk about Harley Reid alone later in the podcast. And Chris Burgess is there because he might be getting a DPP with a defensive role, maybe for the Crows, if they need another key back. I know Dan Curtin's in now, but it might cause some issues for the Crows if we only have the two key backs. And I've got Sean Manor in my utility spot because he's 200K and there's a possibility he gets an early game this year. So some other people that just missed out for me was Taylor Adams. I don't see that much upside with Taylor Adams and his role in the Swans midfield. I feel like he'll be playing mostly as a forward. I can see him getting injured early in the year, causing a lot of coaches to having to jump off him. And he's also got that and one of the early buys, which I'll talk about later in the podcast. And with so many upcoming stars for the Sydney Swans, I feel like those minutes will not be going to Taylor Adams, instead to people like Goulden, Rowbottom, Chad Warner, people like that, James Jordan as well. And speaking of James Jordan, he just missed out because of an early buy round. I know he's quite cheap, and with forward options being so slim, it's understandable why so many people have him. But I didn't really want another person with an early buy round. And I'll talk about some of the team structures for early buys a little bit later. So I just want to talk about rookies right now. So I'll start off with the most popular ones. So Riley Sanders, that's probably the most impressive performance I've seen on debut for any club. He was probably their best midfielder on the day. Libba also helped him gain some quick disposals. Clearance work was pretty good. So he had 25 disposals, 18 handballs, 7 kicks, and he had 8 tackles and a goal alone in the first half. And, yeah, he'll definitely play AFL football in round one. Simple as that. Then we've got Colby McKercher, 55% of teams right now. He also had 25 disposals and 3 marks down back in his first outing for the Kangas, and his skills by foot were really good. So they're up to scratch, and everyone will have him in his team no matter what. And if you don't have him, you need to get him in now. And he'll also be available as a defender most likely after round six when DPPs come out, which will help with flexibility, and maybe he'll be in your D5 or D6, depending on your structure. Dan Curtin, the most selected rookie defender at 48%. More of a team selection pick rather than a fantasy pick, purely because he should get early games with the Crows, and after most of our key defenders went down late last year and in preseason, he should be getting a match. But in practice matches, he didn't look very good. He was very quiet against Port Adelaide, and he looked all right against the other Crows team who he played on the possible side with quite a few of the Crows rookies. So he's just a wait and see, but he should be playing in the Crows team round one, and I'll be surprised if he isn't. I talked a little bit about Sean Manor, but he was involved in midfield rotations after Guthrie went down in Geelong's practice match, and Guthrie's spot could go to him, and because he's 200k, he's quite cheap, and hopefully he gets a game early, because that will help a lot of teams with, I guess, structure and like who you can possibly have as a mid-forward rookie on your benches. So Jeremy Sharp is the next one I want to talk about. He's owned by 38%, and it's pretty clear why. He should be getting his own wing with Nathan O'Driscoll on the other wing. He should score right. Frio do play quite a wide game style, so they like to use their wings quite a bit, which could lead Jeremy Sharp to have some easy marks and some easy kicks. Xavier Dersma, also another one. He isn't in my team right now, and here's why. The only concern I have with Xavier is that he's playing as a third tool for the Roos in their forward line, and it doesn't seem like he's going to get much midfield exposure this year. So his scoring ability may only come from marks and goals and maybe a couple quick disposals in the forward line. He is owned by 36%, so he's in most teams, but right now I'm passing on him due to the fact that he will be in the forward line mostly. I can't really see him getting into that midfield right now with so many people coming in, like the next rookie that I've got on my list, Charlie Lazaro. So he's probably one of the best forward rookie price options. His performance against Collingwood was really good, 22 disposals, 3 tackles for a score of 72 from his match. And since he's in the Roos midfield rotations quite a bit as well, his 16% that own him right now, it should go up quite a bit more. He's sitting at F6 for me right now, so I think he's pretty safe. I have him ahead of Harley Reid, and I'll talk about Harley Reid later when we get into some player reviews. Chris Burgess is there, just because of the Crows' backline. So there have been quite a few requests on Instagram on the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever podcast page for mid-price options for each position. So I'll go through some of the mid-prices and who you could possibly pick. So for defense, I've gone Zach Williams, Nick Caulfield, Elliot Yeo, Marcus Winhager, and Jordan Clark. So Zach Williams, like I talked about earlier, he's got some injury history, and he has got the early bye, which has led me to not pick him so far. Nick Caulfield looked pretty good with a solid 79-point performance in the internal trial match. Elliot Yeo was playing bulk midfield time in the practice match, but of course we need to think about injuries and his past as well. But by all reports, they say that he had an extended preseason working a lot on his conditioning and strength. but it should be interesting to see what he does in West Coast midfield and whether his body can hold up for most of the season. Marcus Winhager is in a sling now after copping a nasty hand injury. So he might be out for a while. We'll see how that goes when the injury report comes out. And the last one, Jordan Clark, I think is a very interesting pick. He was in pretty much everything against West Coast in the practice match. He was getting marks and quite a bit of disposals off halfback, and he was getting used quite a bit. It looks like Luke Ryan's marks are going to him, which is nice to see. And definitely someone that I'm going to keep my eye on for preseason matches this week. So midfielders, there's only two I could really think of between that 500-600k mark. And that was Wardlaw and Ruben Jimby. So Wardlaw looked all right. He had 9 disposals in a quarter and a half in his practice match. And Jimby, unfortunately, got injured early in his practice match against Frio. But he looks like the big body that West Coast need in there. With the addition of Elliot Yeo, hopefully going to be in there for quite a while. Definitely someone that you can look at. But I would hold off for him right now until we see that his scoring ability is all right. I know that he performed well for us last year as a basement price rookie, and definitely someone to keep an eye on if he does play in the preseason match, which I don't think will happen. Other people, if you want to go up a little bit more to that 700-750k range, could be Matty Crouch and Carl Amon, like I talked about. Matt Crouch, definitely a disposal man, likes a handball, and he's very good in clearances, can tackle well as well. With Rochelli and Rankin coming in to the midfield, it will be interesting to see the midfield time splits and CBA attendances. Rankin has started in CBAs quite a bit during the preseason, so definitely something to keep your eye on. But with a extension for Matt Crouch, it's looking likely that he'll be involved quite a bit in midfield rotations with Rory Ladd and Jordan Dawson. Forwards, I guess you could classify Taylor Adams as a mid-pricer, being under 700k, even though he is technically a premium in that line. And I already talked about him. James Jordan, another one that I just talked about. He will have a wing role. I did see him attend a few CBAs as well. And I think it's interesting to see what Sydney's structure will be like with so many midfielders. Other people could be Alex Sexton, like I have talked about previously, so he showed us a glimpse of what is to come for this season for him. The only concern is that Power and Darcy McPherson did not play in the practice match, which could affect his scoring, but right now he's in my team purely for value at 382k. Elijah Sartis is another one that you could look at, but I'm not sure what his role will be with Essendon's newly stacked midfield, and also Jade Gresham might take his role from him this year. I did see Gresham have a couple CBAs and Sartis not really being involved in midfield rotations, which is a little bit concerning for him. And in the ruck, I already talked about Tristan Jerry, but he did have 104 points, 20 disposals and 30 hit-outs against Darcy Cameron and Mason Cox last week. And you could even say Grundy is a mid-pricer, only at 677k. And we already know what Grundy can do when he's a lone ruckman. When Max Gorn went down last year, he scored pretty well, and with Grundy not really having any competition behind him, being Peter Laddams, I think that he'll have another really good year. So here are some requested player reviews from Instagram. So I would firstly like to talk about Thompson Dow. So he had 24 disposals in the practice match versus Melbourne and looked impressive, yet it is hard to determine whether he will get a game this year with so many people from Richmond missing the match sim. If he does play, he'll probably average around 65, 70 points maybe. So I wouldn't be picking him up until we know that he has a solid spot in that midfield. So definitely someone to keep your eye out for if he does get that opportunity. He's only 407k and he's priced at 55, which I think he can get above this year if he's given that opportunity by Adam Uze. Finlay McRae was requested by a couple people, so I'll talk about him. So there was a lot of talk over the off-season, and he should be talked about because he looked like a really good option. He had bulk CBAs and midfield time in Collingwood's practice match and their internal trial match, but there were a few midfielders missing from those rotations, like Pendles at 310k. It's definitely a reason why you can look at him and why he is actually in my team right now. But I would just wait on selections. He could become the sub for Collingwood like he did a couple times last year. But he can definitely find the ball in the midfield, and his clearance game was really good. So I would have him in my team for now. So he's F5 for me. If you can get him F5, F6 in your teams, hopefully he does get that role from Craig McRae, and Pendles might shuffle back to defence maybe and let Finlay McRae progress as an AFL footballer. And the last person that people wanted to hear about was Harley Reid. So Harley Reid was all the hype leading up to the practice match. In the internal trial match, he looked really strong, really dominant in midfield. But when it came to playing opposing teams, he was nowhere to be found, really. He only had the 8 disposals for 3.5 quarters before he went down with a cramp. He was switching into midfield and defence quite regularly, but wherever he went, he couldn't find the ball, and his teammates weren't really using him, which is a bit of a concern. And as I said in my Instagram post, he is lacking some defensive awareness, and other teams could use that to his to their advantage if he does play down back. But at 300k and being the number one draft pick, everyone will still be jumping on him. But it'll be interesting to see how he scores in the early stages of this season, and definitely someone that you might be able to upgrade if he doesn't start performing well. He has a break-even of 33, being the number one draft pick at 300k. So he should make money pretty much every single match early on. But he can't get defensive DPP as he's already a mid-forward, so just be aware of that. So he's on my bench, and I've got Charlie Lazaro actually on my field instead of him, purely because Charlie Lazaro has that midfield time. And Harley Reid, his scoring looks like it could be affected at West Coast. Jaden Hunt was also impressive off halfback and being used more than Harley Reid. So definitely someone that you can look at. Jaden Hunt, definitely in draft as well. That's all I got for Harley Reid, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. And I'd just like to talk about Nat Fyfe. Finally, so he's priced at what is it, about 49. So he's in 27% of teams right now, with a break even of 54. He does come up against the Brisbane Lions first off, which is a bit of a tough matchup, but seeing as though he got 20 disposals in one half for his practice match, it looks likely that he's going to do really well in that midfield spot with Andy Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong going through there. And they look like one of the best midfields in the comp if they get up and running. Nat Fyfe just needs to keep his body right. And by interviews from coaches and stuff like that, he will be playing predominantly midfield this year. He might get used as a deep forward. But it's just going to be interesting to see what he can produce when he is fit. And if he can stay fit, it's definitely somewhere you can go for your fantasy team. He's F3 for me right now, with Jack McRae not being available. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. And the last requested thing was how to navigate early buy rounds. So, if you're unaware of the early buy rounds and you are playing AFL Fantasy, you need to get around to sorting your players out and who will be in your team and who you can look at after. So in round two, the teams with early buys are Carlton and Brisbane. In round three, you'll have the Gold Coast Suns and GWS. In round four, all teams will be back playing. And then in round five, we'll have Collingwood and Sydney. And for the round six, we'll have Richmond and Melbourne having buys. So what does this mean for your fantasy team? So popular players like Nick Dacos, Tom Green, Max Gawn, Taylor Adams, James Jordan, Kitty Coleman, Jane Short, Sam Walsh, Sam Flanders, Alex Sexton and Brody Grundy will all be out at some point within the first six rounds of fantasy. It is annoying, but due to opening round being in Sydney, it is going to be it's going to be something that we'll have to deal with. So here are my thoughts on what is the right thing to do. If you have a player that you think is a must-have, so for me, someone like Sam Flanders that has an early buy in round three, I would still start him because he is one of the top premiums in the forward line. Even though I would dodge most players with early buys, he is someone that has my eye on him, same as Alex Sexton, who can also generate some cash off halfback and possibly be upgraded after his early buy. But purely because of cash generation, I'm having Sexton in. You want to be able to have some clear trade targets after each buy round. So after the first buy round, I'd be targeting someone like Sam Walsh if he's back playing. Same as Kitty Coleman, who present great upside and can definitely increase in price if they perform at the high level that we think they can. And you still want to bring in people that make you money with low break evens, but will still get you your top 18 scores on field, which will count towards your total score in each buy round. So it's going to be a very interesting time of year for early buy detectors and break evens and things like that. It's $20 on the AFL Fantasy website for Fantasy Coach. Also has your projected score and a whole lot of stats on matchups and what each player has scored against each team in the past, and definitely very helpful when planning your early buys. So I have the Fantasy Coach subscription and I've only got four players playing in the early buys, and I can put the buy detector on and it shows me how many people for each round I've got. So I've got Jackson Binns in round two, Sam Flanders and Alex Sexton in round three, and Brody Grundy and Finlay McRae both out in round five. And something that was fun that got mentioned on my Instagram story was that I should finish off with a final ladder prediction, and that was made by Jai. So here goes my predictions for the 2024 season from bottom to top. So I've got West Coast, North Melbourne and Hawthorn as the bottom three. I think that's pretty similar to what quite a few other people have got right now. I've got Essendon, Gold Coast and GOS in that order. So I think Essendon's in a really weird spot right now where they might improve, but they might not. They've made some list changes. They've got Gresham in and Mackay. And Gold Coast obviously have Damien Hardwick now. And Gold Coast have Jared Witts, Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson, and Matt Rowe, who will need a lead from the front. GWS, they are full of star players, but can they perform and reach the grand final like they did a few years ago? We'll have to wait and see. I've got Richmond, Frio, and Geelong after that. So Richmond, I didn't see much improvement over the off-season. They didn't acquire many good talents. They did get Jacob Kaczynski, who performed pretty well in the practice match. Fremantle have the likes of Hayden Young, Andy Brayshaw, Nat Fyfe back in the midfield, Caleb Sarong, Sean Darcy, and Luke Jackson, who can all perform well. And finally, I've got Geelong and St Kilda both just missing out on the top eight. And the top eight, so in eighth spot, I've got the Western Bulldogs. So obviously they've got the list to do it, but the last few seasons they haven't really put many wins together and they've struggled in the late rounds. So it's going to be interesting to see what Luke Beveridge can do. Marcus Bontempelli will obviously lead the way like he always does every year. I've got Adelaide and Port Adelaide at 7 and 6. I'm an Adelaide fan, and I really like what I see from our boys so far. Obviously, Thilthorpe is looking really good from the two match reports that I've posted on Instagram. And Port Adelaide, well, they're looking as good as they did last year. Zach Butters, Connor Rosie, and a whole lot of other people who can definitely perform. Then Melbourne and Carlton at 5 and 4. So Carlton, Sam McClure has been really big on this topic. I think Carlton can definitely make the top four if they really try, and Melbourne obviously have a really good list as well. So my top three are Sydney, Brisbane and Collingwood. So Collingwood is in my number one spot right now, and then Brisbane at 2, Sydney at 3. Sydney are really young. I do understand why some people have them a bit lower, but I can't see much reason why you would have them anywhere outside the top four with how well they went last year and how well their young stars are performing right now. Brisbane obviously made the grand final last year, same as Collingwood, so I think Collingwood can go back-to-back. I can't see why they can't. But it's going to be interesting to see how the ladder shapes up at the end of the season. So thanks everyone for listening to the first episode of the Fantasy Footy Fever podcast. I'll be back with you next week after the preseason games to update you on everything fantasy related. For more content, follow the podcast on Instagram, and the podcast will obviously be out on Spotify. So thanks for listening and see you next week.